We would encourage you to turn with us again, please, to Luke chapter 15 and to keep the word of the Lord open before you as we consider God's truth together. I want to draw your attention to the little passage from the end of verse number 14 through to verse number 17 where it says, "He began to be in want," speaking of the young man that we often refer to as the prodigal son. "He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." And then encouraging words in verse 17, "He came to himself." And he came to himself. Just as he was feeding the swine, that's whenever the prodigal came to himself, came to his senses. And there was something that he saw, I believe, as he fed the swine that the Lord used to bring him to his senses. And I just want to speak tonight a very simple gospel message entitled "The Pigs That Preached to the Prodigal." What was it that the Lord used to speak to the prodigal son as he fed those pigs? He came to himself, but it was only as he watched the pigs that the Lord brought him to his senses. The pigs that preached to the prodigal. Let's still our hearts together in a word of prayer. If you're saved tonight, will you pray that the Lord will speak? Speak to hearts and to souls tonight. Your soul, unsaved friend, is precious. And the Lord, I believe, will speak to your heart tonight. We encourage you to listen and to be attentive. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Let's just wait upon the Lord. Father in heaven, we confess tonight, Lord, that we are dealing in this meeting with eternal realities. Souls hang in the balance, Lord, and the need is so great. Lord, teach us tonight the value of a soul. And Lord, speak. Lord, we are asking Thee in the Saviour's name that Thou wilt have mercy. We pray, Lord, that the fear of the Lord might come. And that God's speaking voice will be a reality in the hearts of all who are far from God. Glorify Thy Son. Exalt Him far above all. I pray, Father, for the infilling and for the anointing of Thy Spirit. Praying, Lord, that my name would perish, that my name would be forgotten, but praying that the precious and worthy name of Christ will be glorified as many sons and daughters are brought to glory. Hear and answer prayer, we ask, in the Savior's name. Amen. I think it's safe tonight to say that everybody loves a good story. Everybody loves a story that is well told, and certainly whenever it's a story that we can relate to, and so often in the Savior's ministry, He spoke by way of parable. A parable is often described as being an earthly story with a heavenly or a spiritual application. But just because the Lord spoke by way of parable did not necessarily mean that the parables or the stories He told were not true. I believe that they are true stories, and especially this story in Luke chapter 15. I believe as the Savior told this story, He was speaking and thinking in His own mind and heart about a real family that had got real needs. About a real father that had a real farm and a real business and had two real, literal sons, and one of them wasted, as it were, his substance with riotous living. We all know tonight the story of the prodigal son. How this man had two sons, and the younger son came to his father disappointed with his lot in life. This son was a son that didn't appreciate a good thing whenever he had it in his hand. Didn't appreciate the home that he lived in. Didn't appreciate the love of his father. did not appreciate the surroundings that were around him, did not appreciate the bed that he slept in, did not appreciate the food that he ate, did not appreciate the prospects that lay before him, and as we all know, felt that he could make it off better on his own. Faraway fields are green. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. So that son took his inheritance. He departed. He went merrily up the lane. After certain days, he found himself in a far country, away from all the shackles of parental responsibility, away from the bondage of living at home, as he thought it, away from the bondage of living in a country that, as in his small mind and in his biased views, was just filled with religion and filled with rules and with regulations. And if only he could find himself in a far country, then he would really be free. But his money didn't last forever. One day when he put his hand in his pocket was empty. And whenever he looked around to all the friends that he thought were friends, they were all gone. And whenever he went perhaps to the bank or the building society to try and get a loan or an overdraft, well, there was a famine in the country and the country had gone bust. It was in recession. And so very reluctantly he goes and finds a job, the only job that he could find, a job feeding pigs. And we know that he came to himself. He realized that he'd sinned not only against his earthly father, but he'd sinned against the heavens. And he'd sinned against his own soul. And so reluctantly, perhaps, he confessed his need in the pig pen. Took that long journey back, and I'm sure it took a lot longer to return home than it did to get to the far country. And the Bible says that whenever his father saw him afar away off, he ran and had compassion and fell upon him and kissed his neck. I believe that this story should be called the parable of the loving father, because it's the father that's to the fore in this story. But you'll notice that it wasn't until the prodigal was feeding swine that he came to himself. There were no evangelists present. There were no preachers there. There were no religious people there. If it was left to the religious crowd, this young man would have died and would have gone to hell. That's the reality, folks. You see, whenever we read Luke chapter 15, we read three parables. A parable about a lost sheep, and the shepherd went after that lost sheep and searched diligently until he found it. Then we read a parable about a lady that lost a piece of silver, and she swept her home all day and all night until she found that lost piece of silver. But whenever the son went astray, nobody went after him. Nobody really cared for his soul, apart from the old father that had so many responsibilities at home and just wouldn't know where to begin to look for his son, didn't even know what direction he went. But there was something, while there was no preachers, no evangelists, no churches, no gospel tracts, no gospel literature, as that young man fed the swine, I believe that the Lord used those pigs to preach to him a sermon. God can use anything that he likes. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 verse 9 said to the religious crowd, God is able of these stones to raise up sons unto Abraham. God is not bound, praise his name, to Christian people. If he was, this land would be finished. But God can use the strangest things to preach a sermon. The most unusual things to bring sinners to himself. Christian father, Christian mother, maybe tonight you have a son or a daughter, and maybe tonight they're in the far country, and they're outside of your influence, and you can't reach them, you can't speak to them, you've prayed for them, you've witnessed to them, you've brought them up, and tonight they're far from God, and you maybe tonight think that the situation is hopeless. Well, God can use pigs to preach a sermon to a prodigal. God can use anything he so desires to bring that wayward son or daughter or loved one to themselves and to their senses and to bring them back into the family and fold of God. The pigs that preached to the prodigal. What did these pigs say to this young man? that caused him to be brought to his senses? What did he see in them that caused him to wise up? First of all, I believe he saw their uncleanness. Here he is, and he's sitting in a field. And in that field, there's a pig pen. And this prodigal is just sitting looking at those pigs. And as he looks at the pigs, he can't help but notice that physically they're unclean. And that in itself preached a sermon to him. Because we read that as the prodigal returned to the father's house, he did not even have shoes upon his feet. His garments were filthy and his garments were dirty because his father gave to him the best robe. He was literally almost naked in the far country, sitting in a field, and he was defiled by this world. And physically, the prodigal son was unclean. And as he looked at those pigs and all their nakedness and all their defilement and all the dirt, he saw himself mirrored in those pigs and those swine. And he looked at his life and he thought about what he once was, how he thought that he went to bed clean every night. And now because of sin, he's unclean. Unclean physically. Defiled by this world. You know, this world will defile you. The things that we see in this world are things that defile the mind. Things that are on the internet, things that are on the television, things that are in the newspapers, things that are in the magazines, things that are in society, things that are on the billboards, things that are in the pubs and the clubs and the places of this world are things that defile us. And many young person has gone out into this world thinking that they will find happiness. And they will find freedom. And they will be set free. And they will find everything that they long for. And everything that they desire. But it's not long before many's a young person has found that the things in this world only defile them and make them feel unclean. My brother-in-law was telling me that a few months ago he watched a documentary about young people growing up homeless on the streets of Glasgow. And there was a young girl in that program. She was about 15 or 16 years of age, and she lived in one of these shelters for the homeless. And he said she had given herself to prostitution, to drug abuse, to all sorts of different things, and she was given to self-harm. And he said she said something, and as I thought about it, it was so true and it was so biblical. She says, "I just feel so unclean inside. And the reason I cut myself is to try and let some of this all I can describe it," she says, is like dirt inside. And I would love to be able to get rid of it. She didn't know what it was, but it was sin. And it was the defilement that this world brings. And if you walk according to the course of this present world, you will be defiled physically. But that prodigal was a boy that was brought up in the land of Israel. He knew the law of God. His father was a God-fearing man. We learn that as we read on in the parable. And I believe that this young man was brought up to know the word of God. And as he looked at those pigs, not only did he see them unclean physically, but according to the law of the Lord, unclean spiritually. You see, it tells us in Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 7, that the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. And the prodigal son sat that day in that field, maybe for days on end, looking at those pigs, and what a shame it was for a young Jewish boy to be found in a far-off country feeding pigs. And he looked at them and he couldn't help but see their uncleanness, but he knew that there was something more to it than that, that spiritually they were unclean. Now, isn't it easy tonight to come to a meeting like this and to put on our Sunday best and to dress ourselves up and to come in and have the car washed on a Saturday and to drive to church and to sit down and to look presentable and just really to look like everybody else? But in a spiritual sense, I wonder, are you as clean inwardly as you look outwardly? Isaiah 64 in verse number 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing." Every single one of us, this preacher included. We were born in sin and we were shapen in iniquity. And the word of God says we are all as an unclean thing. And listen, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's not speaking about the things that we're ashamed of. That's not speaking about the things that we would rather sweep under the carpet. That's not speaking about the things that we would rather hide from our nearest and dearest. That's speaking about the things that we think will get us into heaven. The things that we would count righteous. The things that we would present to the Lord as being an acceptable sacrifice and say, here you are, God, what do you think of that? God says, you know what I think of it? I think it's unclean. It's filthy in God's sight. There's a little verse in Psalm 113, verse number 6, and it says, God humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. No, the God of the Bible, the God that fills eternity. Friends, I want to tell you tonight that he's so high and he's so holy and he's so pure and he's so spotless that he has to behold himself or humble himself to behold the very things that are in heaven. The gates of jasper and the gates of pearl and the crystal floors and the jasper walls and the angelic beings that he has created for his own glory. God is so much higher than those things that he humbles himself to behold them. And further still, he humbles himself to behold the things that are in earth. The prodigal looked at the pigs and the pigs were unclean. We would say in this country, well, that's just the nature of the beast, and so it is. Naturally, they were unclean. And naturally, we are unclean as well. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, talks about the pig, the sow, the swine that was washed, has returned to wallow in the mire. You see, this is the story of the prodigal son. That verse in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, is the story of the prodigal pig. The sow that was washed, taken out of its natural environment, washed and cleaned up. But it didn't feel at home whenever it was clean. It left the little pig pen, it went away and it got washed, went into the far country, but it wasn't happy. So it came back to wallowing in the mire. Just like the prodigal son in reverse. And you know, we can wash ourselves up and we can make New Year's resolutions and we can try and deal with uncleanness in our lives. But unless the Holy Ghost convicts us and brings us to Christ and we're born again of the Holy Ghost and we're washed in the blood and we're made a new creature, you know, we can't change ourselves. And as the prodigal looked at these pigs, they preached to him a sermon about his own uncleanness. I believe as the prodigal looked at these pigs as well, he wasn't long realizing that these pigs weren't going anywhere. Somewhere around that perimeter, there was a fence that kept these pigs hemmed in. Oh, they could go so far, but they weren't really going anywhere of any importance. They were in captivity. He saw their uncleanness, he saw their captivity. And from the prodigal standpoint, as he looked at these pigs, he thought, you know, these pigs aren't going anywhere. This is their lot. This is where they live, and unless something big happens, this is where they will be. They'll not be able to break free. They'll not be able to jump over the fence. They'll not be able to get out of their environment. And the reality is that even if they did, even if they could, they don't want to. And he saw their captivity. And all the while, as he looked at these pigs, and he saw, you know, they're hemmed in, they're bound, they're not going anywhere, they're not free to roam as far as they like, he looked at himself. And he thought that how a short while ago he thought that he was free, but he was just bound like everybody else. And he realized that he was in bondage, and he was the one that was in captivity. And these pigs began to preach a sermon to him, you know something, you're as unclean as we are. And you're just as bound as we are. You're lost. You're not going anywhere. And he's bound. He's held captive. He's got nowhere to go. He's lost. You know, every human born into this world has a desire for freedom. Unless you're radically different from everybody that I've ever spoken to and radically different from anybody that I know intimately, you have a desire to be free. Man longs for freedom. That's why no man in his right mind wants to be bound in a prison cell from he's found guilty to his dying day. Man doesn't want that. Man will tell lies in a court of law so he doesn't have to be put into a prison house because he longs for freedom. Man doesn't like to live according to God's law because he wants to be free. Man doesn't like to have people telling him how to live and what to do because he wants to go his own way because he thinks that that will make him free. And I wonder tonight, are you really free in this meeting? I'm not talking about being a free Presbyterian. I'm talking about being set free, liberated by the power of the gospel and by the power of God. Are you free tonight? I want to tell you that God can set you free. Maybe tonight you're not a Christian and you say, well, you know, I'm just so miserable in my sin. Nobody knows how I feel. I can't express myself. My parents don't understand me. And life is just a life of bondage. And what's it all about? And there are so many that think that the only freedom they will ever experience is freedom and death. Take your own life. That's what the devil says, isn't it? And you'll really be free. You'll just enter into bliss and into sleep. Because we all think and we know that we live in bondage. We sometimes talk about man's free will. And while we could say that, yes, man is a free agent and man has freedom of choice, man's will is not free. Man's will is bound by his own sin and by his own corruption. That's why tonight you're not saved, because you don't want to be saved. If you wanted to be saved, you would be saved, because the Lord never casts or turns anybody away. Your will is bound by your own sin. Oh yes, you can make choices, rational choices, but you will always make choices according to the volition or inclination of your own will. And your mind and will and heart and affection is all biased away from God. That's why all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But praise heaven, God has laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. I wonder tonight, are you bound? I want to tell you that Jesus Christ can set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So these pigs are preaching quite a sermon to this prodigal. Oh, you're just as unclean as we are. You're in just as much bondage as we are. And you know something else? Your life is just as futile as ours is. The prodigal looked at the lives of these pigs. It was so monotonous, wasn't it? They went to bed at nights. They slept. They snored their heads off. They got up in the morning. They wallowed in the mire for a while. They ate in the husks. They wallowed in the mire a little bit longer. They maybe went for a nap in the afternoon. They waited for their husks in the evening. Then they wallowed in the mire a little bit more, and they go back to bed at night. And it's the same every single day. Fighting and bumping into each other. You know, pigs can be quite aggressive. I used to work, said this morning about my old employer was in this morning, and just outside of the building that we worked in, there was a man who kept pigs in a pig house. And he was a crabbed man. Boy, he was bad-tempered because he just became, I suppose, as stubborn as the pigs that he was working with. He used to keep a piece of conduit, and he used to whip them and crack them and kick them. And one time he came limping into the workshop, and he was limping for a week because he'd kicked one of these pigs. It was so thrawn and so crabbed. And that's what the prodigal saw day in, day out. These pigs, their life is futile. They're not going anywhere. There's no purpose in this. And then didn't he look at himself and says, but you know, I'm just the same. I'm sitting amongst them. And there has to be more to life than what I'm doing. I'm getting up every morning and I'm just coming down to this pig pen and I'm feeding the pigs and I'm hoping for something to fill my belly myself, and I go to bed at night and I hope, but I know it'll not happen, that the next day won't be any better. A futility. Just like life without God. These pigs had no hope. They'd got no prospects. They weren't going anywhere. All they lived for was the husks. And now the prodigal's looking at the husks himself, thinking, maybe these husks will fill my belly. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever get up in the morning and turn the key in the door as you're about to get into the car and just think, what's all this about? I'm going to drive to work and I'm going to do the same as I did the day before. And I'm going to go through it all and I'll listen to the same nonsense that I listen to every day. And I'll come home and I'll get my dinner and I'll probably have a few bills to lift on the floor whenever I go into the home. I'll eat my tea, I'll watch the soap operas, I'll go to bed, I'll get up in the morning, I'll do the same thing again. And then hopefully at the weekend, something just to break the monotony of life on this earth. And then I'll go through it all again and I'll just live for the weekend. And hopefully, whenever I've got enough money, I will retire and then I will be happy. Then what? Do you honestly think that retirement is going to ultimately give you the satisfaction that you've longed for 65 or 75 if the government gets its way? We'll probably never be able to retire if things keep going the way they're going. So better seize the day and make the most of life now. Going through the same routine day after day, eating your husks, wallowing in the mire, rubbing shoulders with those who are as unclean as you are, who are as bound as you are, whose lives are as futile as yours is. Week after week, month after month, year after year, we live in a world where people talk about the good old days, how good things were back then. And they talk about how wonderful the future might just be if the right politician gets voted in, or if we win the lottery, or we get a retirement plan, or we get something given to us, or we meet the right person, but we're never really satisfied with the here and now. Every politician says, vote for change. Make a new start. Working, it's all the same policy. It's just different faces or different masks in the same old face. Futility. Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, realized that life on this earth is futile. Solomon, the great rich man that had everything handed to him on a silver platter, on a plate. You know what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 3? He says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Solomon worked hard, and then he realized, what am I doing? I'm not saying that you quit your job in the morning. Yes, work hard, and whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. But he thought that if he built up a little empire, it would make him happy. He said it was vanity. And then he says in chapter 2, well, you know, if work doesn't do it, and business doesn't do it, and success doesn't do it, he said, I said, my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Live loose. Don't take anything too seriously. Have a laugh. Go to the circus. Whatever it is, just fill your heart with mirth. Enjoy pleasure. He says, it was also vanity. Didn't satisfy. Verse 3 of chapter 2 says, I gave myself to wine. I filled my head with wisdom. He says, I built houses, I planted vineyards, I made gardens, orchards, I made pools of water. I had servants, I had maidens, I had great possessions, I gathered silver and gold. He says, I got men around me that could sing and women that could sing. I thought, maybe if they sang, I'll be a little bit happier. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Everything that he could get out of life, he sucked, he milked life for all it was worth. But he says, you know, it's vanity. It just doesn't really satisfy. And then his closing counsel as an old man, he says to young people, he says, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. This is what it's all about. He says, I've tried it. I've got married, I've had children, I've had relationships, I've had everything that this world can give. But you know, it's vanity, it's futile, it's futility. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure, no pleasure in them. One American preacher wrote a book entitled, Don't Waste Your Life. On the back of that book, there was a little blurb about what the contents of the book were all about. And it told a story about a couple who had an article in the Reader's Digest in 1998. It was a great success story. They'd been able to retire in their early 50s. And they had this beautiful big sailing boat, and they would just sail up and down all day, up and down. They would maybe anchor the boat, they would jump in, they would swim across to the sea, and they would gather seashells. And this is what they lived for. And this preacher says, what a waste. Do you mean to tell me that you've scrimped and saved all your working days so that you can spend your days gathering seashells? Is that it? Is that what life on this earth is all about? It's futility. Used to be a man visited our home whenever I was a little boy growing up in Lisburn. He was a very wealthy man. Drove a beautiful big Mercedes coupe. His wife had one as well. His son had one, and his other son had another car. He built this beautiful big house, a big detached house out in the country with a big winding lane all the way up to his house with lights going up the lane. He had an orchard in his back garden. He had a vegetable patch. This man had done well in life. And he used to bum and blow in front of my dad whenever they were sitting in the house. And I would listen to all his stories. And he kind of intrigued me. He always told interesting stories about whenever he was young and how he used to watch in some of the big engineering companies. They used to bring in skips and he would put the old machine into the skips. And then the man with the skip would sell on the stuff for scrap. And he would also get money off the people for just taking the stuff away. And he began to watch this and he told us how he made his fortune. And then sometimes the telephone would go and Dad would go out and answer the phone. Maybe somebody from work or some problem happening in the workplace. And then this man would turn around to my mother and he would call her by her first name and he'd say, "What's it all about?" That intrigued me. He was boasting about how well he'd done and then he would just turn around and say, "What is it all about?" He was admitting that this world in which we live without God, it's futile. Life without Christ is not life at all, it's an existence. Monotony of life without God. And the prodigal looked at these pigs, he realized they're unclean and I'm unclean. They're in captivity and so am I. And their life is just as mundane as mine is. And there must be more to life than I'm experiencing. And then he thought about their owner. The farmer had evidently been doing all right for himself. There had arose a great famine in the land. The country had gone bust, but he was still able to employ workers. This man didn't really want for anything. But concerning the prodigal, it says in verse number 16, no man gave unto him. He didn't enjoy any luxuries anymore. The only thing that he had in his pocket was just a little bit of food just to keep him alive. Just to keep him ticking over so he can go through the whole routine again tomorrow and feed these pigs for this farmer that doesn't really care about this worker. All he cares about is his pigs, and you know he doesn't really care much about them either. They're just there to keep him in his luxurious lifestyle. He was really a cruel taskmaster, wasn't he? Didn't cause him a second thought as he walked along and he saw these pigs and he looked at the pigs and says, "You know, those pigs are for the slaughterhouse someday. And see that young fellow there? Well, he just feeds them for me." And he goes into his house every night and he's a harsh kind of a taskmaster, isn't he? And the prodigal thought, "You know, that man doesn't care for these pigs, and I'll tell you something, he doesn't care for me." And I wonder, did he think, "Who am I really serving here?" And he thought about the God of heaven. And he knew that he wasn't living for God. And he realized that he was serving the devil. You know, the devil will milk you for all you're worth. He is a cruel taskmaster. He does not care about you at all. He is just using you to serve his own ends, and so is this world. Young person, do you think that whenever you go to Kelly's on Friday night that Mr. Kelly really cares about you? Or whenever you go to the Anchor and you throw your money over the counter, do you really think that the man that owns that place really cares about you? Does he ever come in and sit down beside you and put his arm around you and say, "Now, how are you really? Tell me about yourself. How is it with you? Can I do anything for you?" No, he's just there to get the money out of your pocket. And if you're foolish enough to give him all your money, he'll take it all. And whenever you're in want, he'll not care about you. He'll not give it back to you again. Do you really think this world cares about you? No, sir. Jesus Christ said, John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life." The only man that really cares for our souls is the man in the glory, Christ Jesus. Whenever we were at school, we read that book by George Orwell entitled Animal Farm. Some of you might know the story how there was this farmer. He was a cruel taskmaster, and one night in the barn, whenever the farmer was asleep, the pigs got up, Snowball and Napoleon and all the rest of it, and they says, let's kick this farmer out. We will run the farm from now on. And we will make sure that everybody's happy. We will make sure that everybody's got enough. We will make sure that you've got plenty of food, that you've got warm beds to sleep in, that you're warm enough, and that your children are safe, and let's all just live together in peace and harmony. The perfect picture of humanism, communism, and socialism. And so they drove out old Farmer Jones, and he was never to be seen again. The pigs took over. And there was a big shire horse in that farm. His name was Boxer. Boxer did all the hard work. And the harder Boxer worked, the harder the pigs let him work. And Boxer built this great windmill, and then something happened and the windmill collapsed, and Boxer, he's just exhausted. But Snowball and Napoleon, the two pigs, they say, Boxer, if you just work a little bit harder, a little bit longer, if you just strive, we'll build this windmill, and then we'll let you rest and you can enjoy your life. Some of you know the story, how Boxer's carrying this big stone up the hill to put the final pieces in the windmill, falls underneath the weight of it. And then the next day, the other donkey, I can't remember his name, but he looks and he sees this little van driving into the farm. And it's the van from the slaughterhouse, from the glue factory. And Boxer gets thrown onto this truck and he's never seen again. And of course, the pigs come in and they tell the sad story. He hung on for a few days and we were there with him day and night, but he's gone now. No. Boxer was no use anymore. They had milked that old horse for all he was worth, and then they sold him to the glue factory. And as I often thought about that, I thought, that's just like this world, just like the devil. Every check that the devil writes will bounce. He writes checks that he cannot and will not cash, even if he could. And after he's milked you for all you're worth, he will send you off, as these pigs are going, to their slaughterhouse. This young prodigal, he saw their taskmaster, then he thought about their destination. Where are these pigs going? Oh, they're for the slaughterhouse. They're for the bacon factory. Remember, this is not Israel anymore. This is the far country where they ate literally anything. And one day those pigs are going to be rounded up whenever they've eaten enough husks and they're nice and fat. They're going to be put in the back of a truck. They're going to be taken off to the slaughterhouse, off to the bacon factory. And I wonder, did the prodigal sit and think, where are these pigs headed? Where am I going? And what's my destination? Where am I headed in this world? Do you ever think about that in this meeting tonight? Maybe some of the young people, do you ever wonder where you're headed in life? This thought used to keep me awake at nights. As a little boy of 8, 9, 10 years of age, where am I going? Where's my life headed without God? Where am I going? My parents will not be able to look after me forever. Someday I'm going to have to try and make it on my own. Where am I going? And this prodigal began to think, where am I going? Well, I'm going nowhere. I'm never going to make a million feeding pigs with husks. I can't even make enough to buy myself a pair of shoes. But whenever all is said and done and God calls time and I loose the moorings of life on this earth, what will my destination be? And then he looked at the pigs. And then he maybe thought back through some of the old verses that he'd learned as a little boy. Maybe Deuteronomy 32:22, where God says, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Then maybe he thought about that text of scripture in Job 26:6, hell is naked before him and destruction hath no covering. Then he maybe went on a little bit further and thought about that verse of scripture in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And he begins to think, I've never really thought about God before. I thought that was just something for the old boy at home. And the cogs are starting to turn. And then he maybe thinks about Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse number 15, "Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick or alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. I've wasted my substance," he says, "with riotous living." Then he maybe thought about the words of Solomon again, Proverbs 27:20, "Hell and destruction are never full." And then maybe he thought about those words in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14, "Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." And then he began to think about Isaiah chapter 14, where it says there, "Thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." And he thought about the destination of these pigs, and these pigs are preaching a sermon. We're for the slaughterhouse. And with every snort and with every snuffle, he could hear them saying in his ear, "So are you." And this troubles him. "I'm for hell. And there's nothing in this world for me either. Not much hope without God, is there?" Have you ever logically thought about your destination? Now think logically about it tonight. If you keep on living without Christ and walking that pathway without the Lord, where is that pathway going to take you? Where is the destination going to be? If you die without Christ, where will you be? See, folks, it's simple, isn't it? It's logical. It's rational. Truth is always logical. There's nothing illogical about anything in Scripture, about anything in the Gospel. If you live without Christ and you die without Christ, you'll be in eternity in hell without Christ. It's as simple as that. Years ago, in the early part of the 19th century, there was a young man that was going to be a missionary in India. He had an unsaved friend, and there was nothing he wanted more than for his unconverted friend to hear the gospel. After taking his friend to different churches Sunday after Sunday, he was sort of dissatisfied that nobody seemed to give a clear presentation of the gospel as it's revealed in Scripture. That is, until one day they went to hear the Welsh preacher, Roland Hill. And Roland Hill was preaching in an open air. And he began to tell this story, and he applied it, and he says, "You know, there was a day that I stood not far from this place, and I watched a farmer, and he had behind him a few pigs, and he was taking them to the slaughterhouse, but they just merrily marched along behind him, as happy as could be. And he says, I couldn't really understand why they were so willing just to follow him without any thought. And then he says, I looked, and in his left hand he had a little bag of beans. And every 6 or 10 feet he would take out a bean or two and just drop them in the ground, and the little pigs would come along and lift up the beans. And he says they didn't know that all the while dropping those beans, he was leading them to the slaughterhouse. And then he applied it to the unconverted, and he said, sinner, that's just the same for you. You're bound for hell. And you're quite happy to go there because every so often the devil will drop a little bean before you and you'll pick it up and lift it, and then you'll just go on looking for the next one. I wonder what those beans are in your life. Maybe the hope of a relationship. Someday you'll meet the right person and for a while you'll be happy. And then whenever that wears off, well, maybe we could have children now, and for a while that'll satisfy your curiosity and your longing about what life's all about. And then whenever they get a little bit older, you'll try to work harder and you'll think about retirement, and all the while it's just one bean after another. And the devil's just like the Pied Piper, and he's leading you merrily along, and all the while the pigs are preaching a sermon to this prodigal. But I think the last thing that perhaps the prodigal noticed was their footprint. Pigs are unusual animals. You see, according to the law of God in the Old Testament, there were two things that God used to determine before the people the animals that were clean in his sight and were fit for food. One was an inward sign that they chewed the cud. Cows do that. We see that. Sheep do it as well, I think. And they also had an outward sign, and that was the cloven hoof, a hoof that was parted. Now, the little cloven hoof, the prodigal saw that footprint every single day in the mire of that pig pen. But while that was a sign of cleanness, inwardly they didn't chew the cud, so they weren't clean. But the prodigal looked at that little footprint and he realized that that was the sign of cleanliness and that was the sign of purity. And the hoof was parted, it was divided. And I believe that God has done that for a reason. Because the cloven hoof speaks of separation. And as the prodigal looked at that cloven hoof, he thought, that's my problem. I need to be separate from sin. I need to be separate from this world. I need to begin to change the way that I walk, not only the way that I think and the way that I am inwardly, but if I'm going to be real with God, I need to depart. I need to arise and depart. I need to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, because if I do that, God has promised that he will receive me. Christianity and worldliness do not mix. Paul said, be not conformed to this world. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Savior says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And so the prodigal hears the conclusion, the last point of the sermon that the pigs preached. And it's, be separate. Turn from your sin. Walk a different way. Step off the broad road and onto the narrow way. And at last the prodigal came to his senses just as he heard the conclusion of this sermon. And he sits up and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell my dad that I've sinned against him. Greater still, I'm going to tell him and confess before men that I've sinned against heaven and I'm not worthy to be called a son. But I'm going to serve him if he will have me. And in a sense, every time a person comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, they're doing exactly the same. They're coming and they're saying, and they do it publicly, I have sinned. I'm not worthy to be part of the royal family or the family of God. But if you will take me, I will serve you. And I'll give you my life. And the prodigal made his journey home. And we have that lovely, lovely verse that whenever his father saw him afar off, he ran. And that just shows us tonight, friends, how willing and how gracious and merciful God is. You know, if you come to your senses tonight and these pigs have preached a sermon to you and you realize that in the sight of the Lord you're unclean, you're bound, life is futile without the Lord, you're serving a cruel taskmaster, you're headed for the wrong destination and you're not leaving the right footprint on this earth. And you come to your senses, I'll tell you, God tonight will run to meet you. He'll embrace you. He'll show you all the love in heaven. He'll clothe you. He'll put shoes on your feet. He'll put a ring on your finger. He'll bring you into the banqueting house. He'll put a banner over you, and the banner says love. And he'll let you sit at his table and feed on a feast of good things, and you'll never hunger or thirst again. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's pray together. Gracious God and everlasting Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that thou wilt speak to hearts. We pray, Lord, that even as the prodigal came to himself, that there will be those tonight in this meeting that will come to themselves and realize that there's only one that can give them what they need, and that, Lord, they will return to the Father's house. Father, save souls tonight, we pray in the Savior's name.